All right, episode 9 of the I Want Practice podcast. I'm here with Jordan and Joe. You guys are back from your little trip. How'd it go?
I wouldn't say it went well for me.
Jordan, how'd it go?
Can't complain.
Can't complain about it?
Well, I mean, this is the I Want Practice podcast, right?
Yes.
So if there was ever a title for a podcast that would be fitting, I would have to say this one would be the one for me.
You won practice.
I think I won my little practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a good practice.
Because how'd the tournament go?
Didn't go well. No.
So let's just jump right into it. So you guys went to the regional at Pickwick. Let's talk about it. How was practice there?
Practice was good. We got there and it was overcast, a little bit of wind. It was cooler. Water was like 72, 73 degrees. They were shallow. They wanted to chase. And everything kind of deteriorated as the week went on and it got warm. Water went up to what, 79, 80 degrees, something like that. Yeah. And those fish and some of the spots that I had, well, pretty much all of them, those fish had left on me. And I still had some places that had bait on it, but a lot of places the bait left as well.
Really? Just did a total 180 essentially.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And you'd get bit and then, you know, the fish that were 3 to 4 pounds turned into 14 inchers, barely keepers. It was a hot mess.
Basically nothing at all.
Yeah, it was not good.
Jordan, same thing with you.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good the first couple of days. I told Joe,
can I get you closer to the mic?
I told Joe and Josh, another guy we were staying with, that it was going to take after the first day. I figured it'd be what I say. Top 10 would be 20, which it still was.
Yeah.
They just weren't caught the way that
we wanted to catch them.
Yeah. I mean, the conditions just totally changed. I mean, I think the first day I was there, I had like 23 pounds probably.
Really?
Just bouncing around. Mm-hmm. Second day, same thing.
Gee, that's a good Jordan practice, 23 pounds. A good Joe practice was like 18 pounds.
It was exactly how I wanted it, though, man. There was a lot of current. It was shallow.
Prime conditions.
Yeah, they were setting up how I like to fish. And then it just, over the next, I think we practiced 4 days. So the first 2 days were good. And then the next 2 days got pretty bad. And I think after the last day, I said, I'm going to take back what I said. And I'm going to say there might be one bag over 20 pounds the first day. Because it just deteriorated.
Well, do you think a lot of people anticipated, because you guys were saying there was a total switch from practice to basically what happened Thursday?
I think there was only a switch up the river. I don't think it ever switched down by the dam, down lake.
Really?
I think they were scoping them from day one, and I think it got better for them. I think they were on, if I had to guess, 18 to 22 pounds was probably a good day.
Sure.
For them when they got there. And the weather turned that into 20 to 30 a day. It got hot. The water dropped. There was no wind. And all the fish suspended. They just left.
Right. So, needless to say, if you weren't scoping, essentially, like, you had no chance.
Nah, well, there was one person that did not scope, I believe, in the top 10, and it was Trent Surratt. And he was up in the tail race, and he caught, I think, on average, 22 to 23 a day.
Yeah.
So pretty much, minus him, if you were not scoping, you did not have a shot at being in the top 10. That's correct.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, had the weather stayed how it was when we got there, I really thought I had a place I could catch a 30-pound bag.
Sure.
Because it was that good.
Right.
But it just deteriorated so fast, and my fault for not realizing it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go back up there. I mean, catch them up there 2 days in a row, you just leave it, right? Figured I'd go back up there in the tournament and catch them. Didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
So, didn't really play out to how you guys thought it would. did you have any other gripes about what you saw or what happened up there?
No.
Because the
I'd never fished Pickwick before. And really? I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the lake's got a little, I guess it has more grass than this year, but you know, there was still some eelgrass, and Jordan did find some coontail, which was hard to find, but it was a very healthy lake.
Oh, ton
of bait, just the fish look good. And
yeah.
And when it's like that at the end of the year, when they've been kind of getting pushed around and caught and all that, it's pretty impressive.
I remember watching the weigh-in that first day, and Ryan was like boat like 30 something or whatever. And he weighed in with like 22 something, 22.5. And he instantly shot up to like third. And then a couple more people rolled in with like 26, another 26. That was like a bag that was like 25. I was like, good Lord, man, the lake is insane.
It was just a perfect storm
100%.
For that scoping thing. You've got so much current, the fish are not going to live directly in it.
Sure.
You've got a river system that has very few pockets on it.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I should have known those fish have to go somewhere. So they run to the bank or behind a bar. You know, typically if the current's coming down lake, you want to fish a bar that's facing the same way the current's coming, get behind it, because that's where they can get out of it. And should have just known better than, but it was just a perfect storm. Like I said, I mean, you've got no pockets, you've got a lot of current, you've got big fish that need to get out of it. And I think it just put them all in certain little areas, and the guys that figured them out, they really, really figured them out.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of fish in small areas.
So those guys were catching them, you know, obviously off the bank, scoping and looking at them and all that stuff. But I just personally felt like all my fish that were real, that were quality in practice, literally swam off of what I was fishing and just went to that deal. And it's kind of wild to look back. And it's what I enjoy with tournament fishing is, you know, looking back and seeing how things played out and trying to learn from it. And, you know, hindsight's always 50-50, but like Jordan said, it was the perfect storm. And I didn't practice off the bank. I mean, I looked around at a few things, but I didn't dedicate 2 days to just looking at a screen and staying on the trolling motor. So
breaking your neck
to make that transition in just the way I am, I'm not going to go just join two or three boats during the tournament and mess up what they're doing, or just, it's just not how I play. So it was difficult to make that transition during the tournament and stay out of people's way and just try and do your thing.
Mm-hmm. So looking back, you mentioned hindsight. Looking back now at what weighed in and what came in the top five, top 10 versus how you guys placed, is there something that you would have done differently that you think would have bettered your outcome?
The second day, I brought two rods.
That's it.
I brought two minnows and I caught three for 14 pounds.
Yeah.
And lost like a 5-pounder and had another big one follow it to the boat. Saw the fish, almost ate it next to the boat. So I did the minnow deal on day two and had 25 pounds worth of bites.
Mm.
I had three that weighed 14 and two other 5-pounders. Right, one of them I dumped by the boat. And one of them I just literally saw him come up almost to the top of the water and eat that bait.
Really?
Yeah.
Joe, anything different?
No, so I had a unique situation. Just my co-angler for day two was 2 pounds out of the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I was way out of this thing after the first day. So I just changed up. If I went scoping in, he wouldn't have had an opportunity to catch anything.
It would have just been about you.
Correct. And it's one fish here, one fish there. And it's just very targeted things. So I just went back into some pockets. I had some shad. So I knew that shad were back there. The bass could be on both sides of the boat. The shad was everywhere. And he had the opportunity to to move up into the top 12. It didn't work out. I mean, he caught a 2.5 pounder right off the bat, caught a short, and just his day didn't work out. But yeah, that's kind of why I did what I did on day two.
So I'll just talk about the results. Jordan 26th, which how many boats were there total?
It's funny. I think there were 150 boats, but somehow I ended up like 220th. It was that bad.
Yeah, there was like 150, 160 boats or something like that, which there were a lot of people that did not like weigh in at all.
So my first day was a struggle. I can't remember if I got 3 or 4. I pushed it. I've been late 2 times in my life, mm-hmm. and I've tournament fished for over 20 years. And both times I've been late has been on a TVA lake.
Really?
Yeah. One time was the Toyota Championship 100 years ago on Kentucky Lake, and then this one on Pickwick. So I got to watch the clock a little bit better. Obviously, I was late for a reason. I was pushing it, trying to catch one more fish, but
sure.
Yeah.
Well, it just works out that way. So Joe didn't finish after a tough first day. And then second day was mainly helping out your
co-angler. Trying to be a good guy. He was only 2 pounds out of the top 12. So he needed to catch basically 3 or 4 fish, which he had the opportunity. Mm. And I felt bad for him. But yeah, it was just one of those days playing Joe the fishing guide.
Joe the fishing guide. And then Jordan 26th. I know that's not probably the ideal result that you had.
I was happy with it.
I left
with a little money, man. I learned something on the second day, and I actually stayed an extra day and went out. Mm-hmm. Tried to stay out of the guys' ways that were out there still, but I went out and I dialed in the live scoping a little bit.
Sure.
So I stayed an extra day. Now, doesn't seem like much, but I had already been fishing for 15 days straight.
Yeah.
So to stay an extra day, I was happy for everybody that caught him. I was mad at myself for not checking that because I had such a good day, first day of practice, the second day of practice, and I had all the time in the world to go up there and try that, and I just never did.
But yeah. You know, looking back at it, when we looked at the long range weather for that tournament, they were saying it was only going to be 81, 82 degrees.
Yeah, and I think it was 90.
It was 90. I don't know where that came from. And then it slicked off and big sun. And it was just one of those things that I kind of got blindsided by. And,
right.
And like I said, you just can't halfway through the day. Well, first of all, you know, I had 5 or 6 places that I wanted to run through. And by the time you had the opportunity to run through everything, it was
85 degrees.
It was 85 degrees and it was 11:45, 12 o'clock.
It felt like It should have been a June tournament.
It was hot.
So like I knew it was going to be bad. I had one area where I had found some hydrilla behind an island. Mm-hmm. It was the only hydrilla.
It was just a unicorn.
I had found in the whole lake. I caught like a 6 pounder there in practice. There was a couple other big ones following it. I really thought that was a place you could catch a 30-pound bag off of. Well, when I got there the first day and I only caught a 4-pounder and fished it for 2 hours and got one bite, I knew it was not good.
Knew something had changed.
I knew it had changed. And it was the weather and it was the water and it was all that. And then I really knew that something changed when I got up there. And I'm not taking anything from anybody that was up there at all, but when you see these people's names at the top, you know how they caught them.
Sure.
You just do, right? Yeah. So I knew how they got caught.
Yeah.
Right? So that told me it definitely changed.
Hmm.
I mean, the shallow fish were gone. The scopers caught them. Pretty easy to put 2 and 2 together, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So that's what I did the second day.
So it really boils down to like, if you're not scoping, you're not catching them on those days. Well, you can catch them, but you're not going to be
like Jordan competing. Said, though, this was the perfect storm for that thing.
I mean,
if those guys were on 13 to 15 pounds in practice,
sure.
When it was overcast and doing that whole thing and it was cooler, I swear, I feel like the fish that we were catching shallow or the quality fish left.
Yeah.
And went to them And, you know, we were just on the wrong side of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
So, Jordan, you mentioned, you know, you'd been fishing for 15 days. So it's not really a vacation because you're competing all of those 2 weeks because you did the Toyota series at Lake of the Ozarks. And then you immediately went to the regional at Pickwick.
Yep.
Do you experience any sort of burnout in that length amount of time? Because, I mean, you were gone for a while. You were gone for 2 weeks just dedicated to tournament fishing.
No.
There's no burnout?
No, I'm daylight to dark every day, man.
Really?
It doesn't burn me out. Something, I don't, like, honestly, I don't even care about catching them.
You're just out there.
Everybody can catch a bass, right? If you put somebody around one, they can catch it.
Sure.
I just like finding them.
You like the hunt.
I like hunting them.
Yeah.
Once I find them, I don't care. They're easy to catch if you find them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it is for me. So no, I don't get burnt out because you can always find something new.
Mm-hmm. So
I've caught a million bass in my life, but when you find a special place, that's what makes it worth it.
So. Absolutely. So BFL season over for this year, looking forward to next year. They've already released the schedules for just about everything, haven't they?
Yep.
Which I know BFL is just at our lake, but are you going to change anything from this year going into next year?
No, not really. I mean, because not on this lake.
Right.
I mean, you can't dominate scoping on this lake.
Sure.
You can't. I mean, you can have a good year, top 20s every tournament,
mm-hmm.
but there's too many factors out here. I don't think you can dominate from February to November. You can't. So no, I'm going to fish how I always do. I might throw a little more scoping into the mix, but I scoped this year. I mean, I got third in the April BFL and yes, I scoped the whole time. I mean, mm-hmm. so I do it. It's just, it's really not my thing, honestly.
Yeah.
I've always fishing here for a while, the winning, every time I've ever won a tournament, you can't see them on a graph. You can't see them with your eyes.
Yeah.
You just have to know why they're there. And it's a one cast thing. That's typically how I win out. Every tournament I've won out here, that's usually how it is.
Mm.
So
Joe, any changes going into next year?
I think the big thing for me is just going to be to catch more fish. Just to keep it pretty simple. No. So I hadn't fished Kentucky Lake. I fished a long time ago, but it had changed since then. So it was a big learning curve for me. I mean, this place offers, I can remember I had moved down here and I've been all over the country fishing mm-hmm. tournaments. This is, in my opinion, one of the hardest places to figure out.
Kentucky Lake.
Yeah, because you're dealing with watercolor, current, fluctuation of water, and everything is spot specific.
And it's just absolutely giant.
And it's a big, big lake. So it was a lot to take on. And I just got frustrated in not being able to put two and two together. And then kind of things started to come together with, you know, just talking to guys, Jordan, and just
everybody
Ryan and just talking to everybody and just understanding how the place breathes a little bit. And yeah, I'm looking forward to next year. It should be good.
I'm excited for you guys. That's for sure. So are you didn't do the Toyota series this year.
I did not know.
Are you going to do it next year?
I'm planning on it. Yeah.
Okay. So then we'll see. I'm assuming you're still doing the Toyotas next year. And I'm assuming Ryan is. We'll talk to him here in a second, but
it's supposed to be a bass tournament.
My biggest takeaway from this event.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I always say if I can learn something every tournament, good or bad, then it's a win.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, I learn now what to do if that happens.
Yeah. That actually is a good point. I forgot there's a Bass Open scheduled for Kentucky Lake. So are you guys going to do that?
I'd like to.
To be determined.
Yeah, to be determined. I know it's might be a little bit more contentious for you to.
If I can get in, I'll definitely fish it.
Sure.
But I think it's pretty hard to get into just one open. You probably have to
It kind of depends on where it is in the schedule. If it's later, if it's tournament 3-4, you're going to have guys that are going to fish the first two.
This one's scheduled for April or May.
I don't know. I haven't seen the.
If the machine will take my money, I'll be there. Yeah.
you'll donate, maybe get some back.
Yeah. Well, I'd never try to donate on this lake.
Sure.
I'm okay donating on lakes that I'm not used to because.
As long as you learn.
Yeah, because you'll be back.
It's yeah,
right.
I'm okay to donate every now and then, but you have to try to do well on your home lake. That's where you can really, you know, pay for your year, pay for a couple of year, you know, stuff like that. So if I ain't catching them, I ain't fishing it though.
That's fair.
I mean, it's a bit right. It's a bit. If you ain't feeling lucky, you don't go to the casino.
So that's the thing, though. I don't know if you're going to be able to. You're not going to be able to like last minute get into that tournament. That's going to be like,
you do know that COVID's still around, right?
What are we talking about?
Bass fishing?
Yeah. What?
What? I mean, I might just happen to come up with COVID 2 days before the tournament. I got to pull out.
Oh my God.
I ain't catching them. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, where is this? This is going down a rabbit hole.
I didn't know where he was going with that.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that's good. I'm going to fish it. Good or bad. I assume it'll be somewhere between March and June.
Sure.
So it should be good no matter what. March, April, May, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that'll be exciting. We've got Ryan coming up. We'll talk to him about his regional. He had a good outing at the BFL.
Great tournament.
Very good.
Ended up in eighth. I think there was one day he went into it. I think after day one, he was like top five or maybe sixth, something like that. We'll talk to him here in a second. All right, we're back. Little intermission, changing up the scenes here. Joe is out. We're back with Jordan. Ryan is here with us. So let's just jump into it. So Ryan talked previously with Jordan and Joe about the BFL. Do you want to recap how your event went?
Yeah, it went pretty well, better than I could have expected. I was truly amazed by the weights overall. We had a regional at Pickwick a couple of years ago, and I think like 42 pounds won the whole entire thing after 3 days. And after 2 days, 42 pounds would have got you in ninth place
right
for this one. So it was truly mind-blowing to see the weight differences. I got a check in the last regional. I got 27th place. I had 3 fish one day for 8 pounds, and I had 4 fish one day for 8.5 pounds and got 27th place. And that was not the case this week.
Not at all. Not even close.
No.
First day you had almost 22.5 and you finished day one at like what, top five or you were sixth,
I think.
Something like that. Cause I remember I'll recap this. I was watching the weigh-in, waiting for you guys to weigh in, obviously. You weighed in, and then a couple other guys after you weighed in, and they had bags of like 26 pounds, 25 pounds, and you just kept dropping. And I was like, whoa. That's insane. I know Jordan talked about it earlier. The lake basically just popped off, essentially. Jordan, you want to kind of get him up to speed of what you said earlier?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you have that much current, they're going to bite.
Yeah. The current.
It's the only reason the weights were that high.
I don't know. I truly believe that a large difference is the advancement in everyone's knowledge of live scope now too. You know, for me, it was obviously fishing here on Kentucky Lake. You know, I use live scope, but I don't use it just an absolute ton because there's so much clutter. We've got so many trash fish and the carp and all that kind of stuff. And it was nice to drop my trolling motor there and look around and not see fish.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on Kentucky, like you drop your trolling motor anywhere. I don't care if you're in the middle of the river channel or in the back of a pocket, you do a 360, you're going to see fish everywhere. And there it just, I think everything set up, the current played, everybody being a lot better at live scope. And I mean, you look at back at the last few weeks leading up to that tournament, Pickwick had been pumping out some really good weights. I think that 2-day BFL, it was like, I want to say it was close to 50 pounds to win 2 days mm-hmm. and for the top two guys. And then third place was like 30 something.
Yeah.
So it just dropped off really quick. And I could only assume that the two guys that did well were primarily live scoping. It was just, there's a lot of big fish there. It was kind of unbelievable to see the weights. I kind of thought, that first day I had in mind, like I knew someone was going to catch a big bag and I was thinking like it'd be close to 30 pounds, that first day to lead.
Yeah.
And so it, in the fall, it's supposed to be a whole lot tougher. It was crazy to see those kinds of weights.
Was that the event that you went out with, Corey Secret Son? Or was that the Toyota?
Yeah, we practiced together. We practiced together the first 3 days of the tournament, or first 3 days we were there.
I had to keep up with Secret, and she'd be like, oh, Corey sent me pictures of Ryan, and they packed up early because Ryan said he was done for the day. And
that is not true.
Not true.
That okay. is not true. We did leave early. But the reason why we left early is because we stayed up way too late the night before. And I was exhausted. I was literally laying in the bottom of the floor and I was like, Corey, if you want to just take the boat and like go somewhere, like I'm laying in the floor. I'm so tired. and he's like, no, I'm ready to go to the house. So we went in, got lunch, and I took like an hour and a half, 2 hour nap because I was so tired. That was my biggest regret of the week was we stayed up way too late. I think it was Tuesday night.
Partying, and, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say partying. I would just say BSing mostly.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, you get a bunch of guys together, especially fishing guys. You get a bunch of guys together, it turns into a BS session big time.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
According to what Secret said, Corey had sent her a picture and said that you had seen enough and y'all were packing it up for the day.
Yeah, that was not the case. I had seen enough as far as I wanted to just go see the back of my eyelids.
Gotcha. So I'll go ahead and say it. Ryan finished eighth out of, what do we say, 150, 160 boats for the BFL?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
150, 160, somewhere in there.
Eighth place, pretty dang good. Just shy of putting in the All-American, which I can imagine was pretty tough coming that close.
Yeah, it, you know, the goal there is the top six. You know, obviously it's great to get a top 10 in that field of fishermen. And it's sweet and that's all well and good. But, you know, kind of left with the job being unfinished, you know, wanted to make that top six to make it to the All-American and fell a little bit short of that, which the guys that were in the top six, like I think being in eighth, you know, generally tournaments are, you know, between places, it's ounces more than pounds.
Yep.
The difference between seventh or sixth and eighth was like 7.5 pounds. So
yeah, like, I was going to say anytime if you catch, I think Ryan averaged 21.5 pounds over the first 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You catch that and don't get in the top six, you can't really be. I mean, like, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Weight, like, to not be in the top six is just like, you can't even be mad. Like, you smashed them.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just, I don't know.
To have a combined bag after 2 days of 41 pounds and still
42 not, and a half, 43, yeah, like, and still not in. I mean, it's just like, what else can you do?
I don't know.
That's kind of the thing you have to ask yourself.
At that point, I feel like, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have way more experience in this, but it really comes down to once you get into those really finite areas of weight, it really is just luck. Like, you can scope all you want, but I feel like you almost have to land on like a 5 or 6 pounder.
You say that, but it's the same guys that are at the top more consistently.
And, oh yeah. That's fair.
And it's not just because they have a lucky horseshoe.
That's true.
You know, there's when people talk about, you know, luck in fishing, there's a whole lot less luck involved in it than what most people realize, in my opinion.
I'm taking it from a,
there is less than people think.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause I'm taking it from a viewer's experience where,
yeah,
I'm not super knowledgeable mm-hmm. about live scoping or even in general, just fishing from a boat. I'll be honest, but mm-hmm. from just a viewer's perspective, it's again, it is the same guy it's often the same guys that come up on top, but it always seems like there's a little bit of luck involved. Like you just kind of have to be there when they bite. Mm-hmm.
But the guys that are consistently good are there when they're going to bite because they know when they're going to
bite. They'll get them to bite.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's just
part of it.
I just think it's crazy that I got into the All-American and caught 23 pounds in 2 days.
Yeah.
At Lake of the Ozarks last year. Mm-hmm. And then you come to Pickwick and 42 pounds doesn't get you in. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know. I don't know.
It's like,
I don't know if there's ever been a regional
no.
that's ever taken that kind of weight.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that's not. The most weight it took. What did Clint have? Because Clint was
23 a day.
Yeah, yeah. Clint, I think the first day had like 26.
Clint had 19 the first day, and then he had like 23 the second day. But he was the last person in. And well, I think I had 56 and change for 3 days, and he was 7 pounds more. So 62, whatever, mm-hmm. 62 and a half, 63 so pounds.
Yeah.
So yeah, like almost 21 a day is what it took to make the top six. And I would venture to say that there's never been a weight to make the All-American that high.
No.
Ever.
There hasn't. Right. There's no way.
On any lake. Because it's always tougher in the fall. It's every lake in the country. It's always tougher in the fall. And that's why I like the regionals generally, because generally it's a grind. And I don't typically do well in slugfest tournaments. But if it's a grinder type tournament, I can go out there and just rummage around and catch a few.
Now,
but we kind of talked about how it was kind of a perfect storm, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they dropped the lake 3 foot the week before we got there.
So
that naturally is going to pull fish out.
Three feet doesn't sound like a lot to me.
It's but a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of water.
I understand that. Like, like this table you guys are on, it's about 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
That is a lot of water, but how much does that affect fishing?
Well, I mean,
drastically.
Think really? About it gives them around the whole lake less places to be.
Yeah.
Then you add in all the current, gives them even less places they can be. And it just sets up for a slugfest, whether they caught them and I'll be honest with you, if that place was full of grass, the weights would have been the same.
Yeah.
They would have been the same, even if it was grass fishing. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is when they pull that current. Well, it doesn't matter how they get caught. Those weights show up.
Yeah.
I mean, like the dude, one of the guys fishing the tail race and had 23 pounds a day.
Which that more than likely that guy, if there was less current,
do you guys remember
that wouldn't have played?
No. What was his name?
Trent Surratt.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Everyone I've talked to down there said he's an absolute hammer. When they turn that water on, he's going to be right there to win every tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned he was like one of the few. He was the one of the guys in the top 10. He was the only
one in the top 10 that didn't live scope.
100%.
I think.
Really?
I went through the list and everybody else was live scoping that I knew of.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Is it bad that you can go down a list and look at who placed where and be like, that guy's a live scoper. That guy's a live scoper. That guy isn't. I know for a fact he isn't. And you can kind of start identifying where these guys are lying. And
no,
you don't think that's bad?
There's always, you can say that guy's a flipper. That guy's a frogger. That guy throws a chatterbait.
But that's almost like different methods of fishing versus how people,
but live scope is a different method of fishing. So like you have to fully commit to that.
That's fair.
Like you're not just like everybody's live scope. And even if they're fishing a chatterbait,
right.
But like we should say throwing a minnow.
Yeah.
Not live scoping.
Gotcha.
Cause there is a difference in even those two.
I feel like I tricked a few people. I know one person in particular that called me after the second day of the tournament. And
who was that?
Steven and Ray Bargey.
Gotcha.
Steven called me the night before day three. And he said, well, me and Dad were just looking at the weights here. And he said, my dad was like, well, he said, it looks like those are all minnow fishing guys, live scoping guys. But he's like, surely Ryan's not fishing with a minnow. And I said, well, you'd be surprised, you know. And it was frustrating for me because that's not generally what I like to do.
Yeah.
And I had two spinning rods on the deck all 3 days of the tournament and 8 pound line and just had two different minnows and my 25 pound line and flipping stick was sitting right in the rod locker all lonely.
So let me ask you this. So the first 2 days got you into the top 12 for the third day. Mm-hmm. Third day you had four fish. Mm-hmm. Was there something that happened or do you?
Well, I lost a 4 pounder on the last day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had a 4 pound smallmouth. Set the hook on it, and you could tell exactly when you caught a smallmouth because the first thing that they would do is go straight up, and they'd fly out of the water. I don't care how big they were. If they were 2 inches long or if they were 5 pounds, they'd go straight up out of the water, and I set the hook on the fish, comes flying out of the water, and generally, when that week, I would just turn my drag down and let them run, and they just do their thing, finally get tired out and come up next to the boat, and net them, whatever. Well, that one, it came straight at the boat rather than going away from the boat. And it tried to jump again. And when it tried to jump the second time, it jumped straight into the trolling motor and came off.
Oh.
And, you know, my co-angler was like, oh, sorry. And it was like, there was nothing anyone could do. Like that fish just did whatever it wanted to. And it was just one of those things wasn't meant to be. But, I mean, that wouldn't have made a difference anyway. You know, I lost two fish throughout the week. Neither of those two fish would have mattered as far as getting to the All-American, which that's obviously all that I really cared about was making the All-American.
Right.
And it just, that last day, it seemed like the fish had been pressured tremendously from what I could tell, because in practice in the first day of the tournament, you'd throw your bait by one and they'd run over to it and eat it. Right. And then the second and third day, you throw your bait out there and those fish would come running at it. They'd come up behind it, just nip it and go straight back down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely a difference that second and third day. I'm not 100% sure what else it could have been other than just the fishing pressure and, you know, them seeing more and more minnows coming past their face.
So you're talked about it with Jordan and Joe. So BFL season's done this year. I'm assuming you're planning on doing them next year.
Yeah, more than likely.
Okay. Are you going to change anything? I know it's just centrally on Kentucky Lake. Mm-hmm. Are you going to change anything from this year going into next year?
Man, I don't know. Like if fishing local tournaments, I just kind of take them tournament by tournament, yeah. You know?
It's kind of hard to say too.
Yeah. We all have an idea. Like what, I think the first one's at the end of February. We all have an idea what we're going to be doing. But we won't know truly until leading right up to the tournament, because I look back and I'm like, you know, say I'm out fishing in April and I look back and like, oh man, I need to remember this for next April. Well then next April, it's like a completely different story and that deal isn't even playing.
Sure.
So it's all different. So to say that I'm going to do something different or do the same stuff, I truly don't know. It'll just be kind of take it tournament by tournament.
Gotcha. So I want to transition now. That kind of wraps up our BFL talk. So both of you guys purposefully are here right now talking to you. So both of you were out for that BFL. You were also the week prior at the Toyota Series at Lake of the Ozarks. And I asked Jordan this earlier, but I wanted to get your take. So what, 15 days or 14 days, however long you guys were gone. Mm-hmm. Do you experience any sort of burnout?
Oh, for sure. Now.
Okay.
Now that I've got a 1-year-old daughter at home, mm-hmm. You know, that was the biggest thing for me. I never really ever got homesick, if you will, before. But having a 1-year-old daughter and not being there to see certain things that she's starting to do, because there's a lot of things going on that she's starting now and, you know, trying to walk and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, my wife sending me videos of her kissing her baby doll and, you know, like that stuff made me miss home a little bit more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I actually came home one day between Ozarks and Pickwick just so I could spend a day at home and all that kind of stuff. So it was nice to see that and kind of have a refresher, especially after a tough Lake of the Ozarks event.
Gotcha. So let's talk about Lake of the Ozarks. So, you had a plan going into it, right? What was that plan?
Well, my plan was to catch 8 pounds a day.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I figured 8 pounds a day would guarantee me in the Toyota Championship.
And how'd that go?
I caught 8 pounds a day.
You sure did. 8.11 on the first day, 8.2 on the second day. Finished up in 9th in Angler of the Year, Jordan 11th Angler of the Year. Do you guys want to kind of recap how that event went? I know it's been 2 weeks since then, but you guys want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, I prayed every single night of practice and every day for the tournament that the dam would break and that we wouldn't have to go fishing the next day.
Why?
That was the most miserable week of fishing of my whole entire life.
Really?
Yeah. I caught a few good fish in practice, but it was just such a grind in the freaking dock cables. If I don't ever see a dock cable ever again, I will be a happy man.
What? So fill me in. What happened?
It was just tough. I mean, it was just you'd fish from daylight till dark and get very few bites, and it was hard to stay in it mentally. And at Lake of the Ozarks, there's docks everywhere. The whole entire lake is lined with docks. And they're all floating docks, and they've got these big steel cables that connect those docks to the bank so that they don't, you know, drift off. And mm-hmm. Well, generally where the fish are is behind the docks where the dock cables are. And it's like whoever can get their bait the furthest behind the dock underneath the dock cables is generally the one that gets a bite. So you've got to risk it. I mean, you're going to lose baits, you're going to lose fish, all that kind of stuff. It's high risk, high reward. But it was just so annoying. Yeah, I mean, those dock cables were just, it was terrible.
Jordan, did you run into the same thing?
I don't have much to say about Ozarks, man. Other than I caught a couple fish and I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Well,
I never felt like I was around fish the whole week long. The really? Whole week, I never felt like I was around fish.
No, it was terrible.
I'd get one bite, I'd spend an hour there, and I wouldn't get another bite.
Really?
And I'd do that 4 times a day, and it was just, I mean.
MLF hyped up the, so you went into this. Second to Angler of the Year, right behind Jake Lawrence. And it was close. What were you, like 7 points behind or six or something like that?
Something
like very,
that.
Very close.
Yeah.
And they hyped it up about how there's a big Angler of the Year race between you guys. So I want to ask you, like, what was your plan going into it? And then what changed? Or what happened?
Honestly, I mean, like, it was either going to happen or it wasn't. So I just went and did the same thing I always do, man. I mean, it's kind of like his thing where he catches 42 pounds and doesn't make the All-American. I get third 2 tournaments in a row and I'm in second.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't happen. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, and that only happens when somebody in first gets first and second. It's the only way that's possible. So like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you can't be mad, you know, like, and that's the other thing. Like I could have got 2/3 and then even probably 50th and still won had he not got first and second in the first two.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm chasing somebody he's really good.
Jake Lawrence.
Yeah. So I was either going to beat him or not. There's nothing I could do to stop it. So I just went out there and it sucked and I did terrible. But I wasn't really thinking about it. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, right?
Well, shout out to Jake Lawrence. He's a friend of ours. won the Angler of the Year race. So
fishing out of his mind this year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What, he just missed Angler of the Year
in the Invitationals.
In the Invitationals, won.
I think he's won like closer to 400,000 than 300,000 this year.
I mean, he's a monster.
Yeah.
So shout out Jake. Hopefully he hears this. Good job at both events, right? He was there for both.
Yeah. Yep.
So good job, Jake.
Had a top 10 at both.
Top 10 at both.
So you guys.
And that's the other thing, Donovan. Like, he finished eighth at Ozarks. I would have had to win.
Right.
So, like, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
And even with a win, tough. It would have been a tie.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad.
Yeah. Like, no. Because even at, like, again, you finished 11th in Angler of the Year.
Yeah.
Ryan's at ninth. You guys are still going. To
as long as you make that championship,
yeah,
that's all that matters.
You guys are at the dance.
Yep,
yeah, you're going to the dance.
I think pays 200,000,
right?
And I think fifth place still pays like 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the second week of November.
Yeah, it's like the first full week of November.
Yeah, yeah. So that's coming up in less than a month. And where's that at again?
Wheeler.
Wheeler Lake. Alabama. Do you guys have a plan that you want to talk about going into it or no?
Go catch fish.
Okay, got
throw
it.
Minnow.
Yeah, throw a minnow. Look at that screen.
I just spent, I think between the
don't say it. You don't even want to say how much you spent on here. Then it's recorded forever.
Between the two of us here, we spent a little bit of money on the minnows in the last couple days.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you tell me the number and I'll bleep it out.
I spent about somewhere in there.
Got it.
On like 15 packs of bait from Japan.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. That's getting bleeped. So that's, I mean, oh, actually,
I spent my whole check from FLW on them.
So I did want to talk about the weights of the Toyota series. The top four finishes in Lake of the Ozarks had over 70 pounds, which I feel like is.
You mean Pickwick?
Yeah, that was Pickwick. That was definitely Pickwick? Not Ozarks.
Was it not?
No.
If the top boats at Ozarks had 70 pounds.
I was on a different lake then.
Yeah. I think the winner of Ozarks had like 60 pounds.
Oh, was it 60?
Or 58?
It was like 50 something, yeah. I think.
Oh, yeah. I have my events switched up. So
yeah, you're looking at Pickwick tournament.
Yeah, the BFL had 70 pounds for the top four.
Yeah.
Because I think Mateo had 78.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like that's.
Yeah, over 25 pounds. I mean, 26 pounds a day.
God. Averaging like 27 and a half pounds a day.
Yeah. Hey, I'm pretty sure that he didn't have a boat, though. I think he borrowed a boat to fish the tournament. So he won a boat. So that's
badass. Yeah.
He's now got a boat. That's awesome.
Which is, that's awesome for him, man.
And one other thing to say, I know going back to Pickwick, I know we're talking about Ozarks, but I believe, what was it? 8 of the top 12 that fished on day 3 were from the LBL, Kentucky Lake Division.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. So that's cool in itself.
Mm-hmm.
One, because it's our buddies and everything like that. You want your buddies to do well, but it's really cool to know that we are fishing here against some of the best fishermen in essentially the region. Mm-hmm. You know, there was 4 different divisions there from Georgia to Ozark in Missouri to Tennessee. LBL, and then what was the other division?
Savannah.
Yeah. So there's 4 different divisions there, and 8 of the top 12 were from our division, which was pretty dang cool.
I saw Harbor was in there. Clint, there's a couple other guys that I can't remember off the top of my head, but seeing those guys, I've spoken to those guys. Those guys are great. Just seeing that, I mean, it really does show you, this goes back to a couple episodes ago where we talked about how this is one of the best lakes to fish on. I think that just goes to show that the competition also follows that too.
Absolutely.
So I could be wrong on that, but
It's strong here, man. I
feel like those are pretty linear.
This is a very diverse lake.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of different things here.
So, I think that wraps up. Do you guys have anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I hope one of us is talking about winning 200 grand in about 5 weeks.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I don't want to speak on Alan's behalf, but I think Alan said that you guys, whoever, if you guys win, you're splitting it with him or.
Yeah, I bet he did say that.
Yeah. He's not currently here. He can't speak for himself. So, well, that's all I have, you guys. Thanks for coming on. And I think next episode we're going to have Secret on talking about her finish at a
Grand Lake.
Thank you.
They started today, right?
Yesterday.
How'd she do yesterday?
I think she finished third with like 7.5 pounds.
So she's looking pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. I think today she's got almost 9, but they haven't weighed in
yet. Is it a 2 or 3 day event?
3 day.
Oh, she'd probably be leading it then. After today,
she might be so excited.
Typically, either boater or co-angler on 2 day turn, 2 or 3 day tournaments. If you can catch the same amount of weight as you did the day before, you're typically going to move up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I always say double it and then subtract like 2 pounds. And that's, what you need to catch to stay about where you were.
Yeah.
Double your weight and subtract 2 pounds. Is typically what I do.
Good rule of thumb.
It's usually pretty close.
Or just go out and catch a bigger bag than yesterday.
Yeah, that's so easy.
That's usually hard to do.
I don't know why you guys just don't go out there and just catch the biggest fish.
Yeah, me neither.
Dude, people probably wonder all the time how you can practice for 4 days and not catch a limit, but it happens a lot. I'm serious.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
I mean, you could practice for 4 days and have... run down the lake and everywhere you want to fish, there's boats.
Yeah. Well, and you don't know who else is practicing in your spots at a different time.
Them, I mean, yeah.
Yep. So it really just depends on who gets there first. Right.
Yeah. And it's hard. And especially on new lakes, you don't have no confidence anywhere. You're just like, oh, I don't even know if there's fish here. You know, out here, it's a little different, but
I know MLF has announced the scheduling for, I think, everything at this point. Are there any new lakes that you guys are going to be on next year? Or is everything just a repeat?
It's pretty much the same.
Figured.
The regional for...
that's at Dale Hollow.
Yeah, the regional for our division of the BFL goes to Dale Hollow.
God.
Oh, you seem like you don't like that. Dale Hollow?
No. Last time I was at Dale Hollow, the minnow was like just coming out. And... everybody was just smashing them on it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't do worth crap in that tournament. But the second day I got paired with the leader's girlfriend.
Oh,
she was fishing co-angler. Tristan Abbott, his girlfriend. And she was like, yeah, we should probably go out there and throw that D'Amici rig. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. This was like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So she pulls this thing out and she shows it to me. And I'm like, people are catching fish on that? And that's how I learned about the, and I still can't catch them on it.
All right, guys, that is a wrap on another episode. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Send us a DM if you want to hear a specific topic or even a guest, give us some feedback. Once again, we appreciate you for listening.